Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to the Coach and Coordinator Podcast in our series of lessons from 2018 with our national conference speakers. And joining me today is head football coach at Lumen Christi, just coming off his 11th state championship, 9 as a head coach, Herb Brogan. Coach Brogan, it's great to talk to you here again.
Same here, Keith.
Coach, as I mentioned to you, the whole idea behind this series of podcasts we're doing with our national conference speakers is to look back on the season and think about some of the things you learned as a coach, some of the takeaways. It's interesting, when we look back at every season, there's always something you learn from it. I know you've been doing this now 47 years, and I'm sure you would agree that that's the fun of this, that every season, like I mentioned to you, you know, hearing from Chuck Kyle talk about it as like being a book, like, you know, you're writing those chapters every single week, and there's all kinds of plot twists and turns, and, you know, you're able to look back on that and take something away from it. So with that in mind, Coach, you know, what's something you really took away from this past season?
One of the things I took away is it reinforced, I guess, an idea that we've had for quite a while, and that is we were coming off two state championships, and we had never been able to win three in a row before. And I think one of the things that got reinforced with me is, in a sense, every time you win one, it makes it more difficult to repeat. I think it's just a natural human tendency that the kids start to think this is just something that's going to happen rather than something that has to be earned. And it was a theme that, you know, we really kind of attacked all year long. But having said that, honestly, we ran into some problems with some training rules and the like over the course of the year that we normally don't run into. You know, I really think that part of the reason that happens is it just a little bit of complacency sets in following success. I know that one of the quotes that I always remember from Lou Holtz, he said, you're going to have three major problems every year, and you're going to have them whether you're winning or whether you're losing. They're different. They're going to be different types of problems, but you're going to have them regardless, so you better be able to react to them.
That's, I think, pretty important. It's kind of a common theme I hear, especially from guys I talk to about, you know, how they won those multiple state championships and running into some of those issues, like you said, that complacency or some other things that set in. And it seems like in order to do that, you have to have that plan of attack and think about some of those things up front. So as you were heading into the season, was that something you and your staff worked on with your team, that, you know, these are maybe some of the things we need to attack in terms of getting these guys ready and potential obstacles that might get in the way?
We've got a saying that we repeat to the kids every year. And, you know, we talk to them about tradition of the program. And the question that we ask them every year, are you going to try to add to the tradition or are you going to try to live off the tradition? And, you know, if you're going to attempt to live off the tradition, then you're going to have the type of problems with complacency, et cetera, that, you know, that we just mentioned. We were really fortunate. We had really strong, you know, senior leadership this year. You know, we had one captain that's committed to the Air Force Academy. So, I mean, that kind of talks just right there about the character of the kids that we were dealing with. And so we were fortunate that we had people on top that were, in a sense, hard drivers and really pushing the kids hard. But, you know, regardless of that, like I mentioned, you know, we had issues that I would say we normally don't have.
In looking at that aspect of senior leadership and now thinking ahead to this next year, and now you're going after four in a row, which is something you haven't done either. So there's another thing that is new to you. What's the approach now moving forward, maybe seeing some of those things and being able to lean on the lessons of, hey, guys, remember when this happened, we got a little bit complacent. What's the approach now, and how do you use what you learned here to move the team forward and work towards number four?
Well, I think, you know, you have to hold up this season as an example of what happens when you don't do things completely the right way. Yeah, I'll be, really honest with you. It's going to be a real challenge because we've got some good players coming back. But at this point, we don't have the leadership coming back that we had last year. And that's scary to you. So we have to work hard at, trying to develop some leadership, pointing out to the kids the way that we accomplished it last year. The kid that I mentioned earlier that's going to the Air Force Academy, I mean, he's like one of your dream kids. And he's a great player, but you're really fortunate when your best players are your best workers. And this is what Nick was. He was probably the hardest working kid on the team. He was extremely driven, and he was very talented besides that. And so one of the things that we told our kids is, physically, you may not be able to be Nick Thomas, but mentally, work habit-wise, leadership-wise, there's nobody in here that can't do the same things if you choose to do them. And so that's, in a sense, the challenge that we're putting out there for our kids. Are you going to grab this team by the tail? Are you going to exert some ownership, not only over the football team, but ownership over the whole process in the off season and the like? Everybody wants to be a leader. Everybody wants to be a captain. But a captain, so many kids want to be captain because they want the coin toss at the end of the ball game. See everybody see them do that. And the thing that we always try to tell our kids is, if you do this job right, it's going to be one of the most difficult jobs that you've ever had. And our best captains have always come back and told us that. As a coach, I've never gone, I've never had anything this hard. I've never had anything that challenged me this much. So that's a difficult concept to sell to kids in general, because they've got to do things that are uncomfortable with their friends. And at that age, that's not an easy thing to do.
You and I talked a lot about the player-coach relationship last time, and actually that's going to be your topic for National Conference, which we'll get into. Thinking of the relationship that those guys have with their teammates, it's not the typical player-to-player relationship, because those guys have to, I guess, act with some additional accountability. First of all, the process for figuring out who those guys are, who your captains are going to be for the season, how do you go about that, Coach? I've seen so many different ways that coaches do it, but when do you pick those guys and how do you pick those guys?
The kids vote on their captains, and we do it at the conclusion of our camp week. We've changed over the years. We used to just pretty much straightforward, let the kids decide that. We're at a point now where the kids that want to be a captain have to come in and interview with the coaching staff. And, we try to ask them some fairly tough questions and put them on the spot a little bit, make them think and react to the answers that we give them. And it's not so much as to say, hey, you can't be a captain, as it is to try to give them some insight into what the whole process might be and some of the responsibilities that they're going to have. And then at the conclusion of that camp week, the kids are going to vote. And honestly, and probably every coach out there would say the same thing, there's usually not very many surprises. Kids sit down and vote. We had four captains this year. One of the kids going into the season, there was no way he was going to be on the field hardly at all. Undersized fullback, probably 160 pounds. But he was one of those kids that, as a freshman, you never thought he would ever even stay with the program. He's probably 5'2" and 95 pounds. And, he worked and worked and worked. And like so many of those kids do, they turn themselves from somebody that should never be on the field to somebody that is going to see some playing time. Mm-hmm. And our starting fullback got hurt midway through the season. And we put this kid in here, and he started a fullback, and he probably averaged one carry every two games. But he was a contributor. But even though he was never going to see the field again a year, he got elected captain because the kids respected what he did during the offseason. They respected what he demanded of his teammates and the improvements that he made over the years. So you can usually, you can usually see who's going to be captain. Sometimes it scares you a little bit, but there usually aren't too many surprises.
Coach, you mentioned that the guys who did it right come back to you and tell you, let you know, how difficult of a job it is because they did it right. How do you prepare guys for that kind of role? Because I see a lot of teams that, not done right, it's a popularity contest. And that doesn't always ensure that those guys are necessarily leading the way that they need to lead and holding the team accountable and, you know, helping you push through those situations as the team leaders where you, maybe you run into that complacency or you run into some training rule issues, whatever it might be. How do you get those guys as they're stepping into that role to really understand what it's about so that, I mean, when you do look back on it, that they did do it the right way and maybe it was difficult, but how do you prepare them for that?
You know, I think one of the things that we do is we, in a sense, we try to prepare everybody. And this goes back a little bit to some of the conversations that we had earlier about the weight room and particularly, you know, some of our days when we're really, really getting after it. And we're trying to hold everybody, in a sense, accountable, to be accountable for their teammates. So when someone's finishing on a leg press, we want him surrounded by his teammates, you know, pushing and encouraging and hollering and that type of stuff. So one of the things that we're really trying to do is develop overall great team leadership. And then, as I said, you know who your best leaders are. I think the best thing to do is just have private conversations with them in terms of what they're doing right and what they need to improve on, what they're letting slide, who we need help with. And, you know, I'll often get to one of our potential leaders and say, look, Joe is not doing things that we need him to do, better off hearing it from you first before he hears it from me. So I would say, you know, we're going after the group as a whole, and then we're just trying to give some individualized attention to the people you know you're really going to have to rely on over the course of the year. And we had one team, this goes back to 2014, had a great football team and we ended up losing in the regional finals by a point to the team that ended up winning it. And it was a small senior class, and we ended up, I think, with 9 captains. And that's unheard. We, you know, we've never done anything like that before. But in our coaches' interviews, we had some kids that one of the questions we asked is, how are you going to be if you're not elected captain? And literally, we had more than one kid break down into tears, basically saying, I can't imagine that. So into leading this team that we sat down with the coaching group and said, you know, how do you deny some of these kids a leadership opportunity? And that's not something that we would want to do every year, but in that particular year, it worked out really, really well for us.
I mean, that's interesting. I've had leadership groups before where we had our permanent captains, and then we had, I think back to this team I had, I guess let me give a little bit of the background story. It's a team that had come up through the lower ranks and junior high, freshmen, even as sophomores and JVs had not had a winning season. They were certainly a group who, there were some free spirits in there, let's put it that way. And I mean, they, you know, there was worry about, man, are we going to do everything right this year? Are we going to have some problems off the field? And so we kind of attacked that, and number one, making it, okay, we're going to do some leadership stuff. We're going to meet every week. I don't think we called it a class or a course. I don't remember exactly what we called it, but we let them know it was kind of going to be set times we got together and talked. And I think we had a book we utilized and went through. And, you know, I made it open to the whole team. And, you know, fortunately, just about everybody who I was concerned about wanted to be a leader on the team. You know, that group of them, 3 of them got picked as the permanent captains. And I think there were 9 others, and we rotated them through every week as a captain. And then the last game, senior day, they all walked out together, and you know, they only allow 3 out for the flip, but everybody else stood behind. But you know, when I look back and looked at that group, you know, they had never had a winning season in their career, and that year they did. And the games they lost, they were really close in. I mean, it was a pretty big turnaround in terms of them growing up, becoming leaders, not getting in trouble off the field and those kinds of things. And so I think there is that opportunity, and you need to look for those, at least in my opinion as coaches, as, okay, maybe we don't name 9 captains, but we need the leadership of every single one of those guys, especially if they want to take on some kind of role with that. I think one of the toughest things I've always seen, and this is when I started to do it differently, is you would have, you know, a group of kids that you know wanted that role and worked hard towards it and worked hard all off season long, were doing the right things in the weight room, doing the right things with their teammates. They don't get elected captain, and then they kind of hit that little bit of a lull where, you know, they're disappointed and whatever. And sometimes they pull out of it, and sometimes they just never were that same type of leader as they were before, because they don't think in leader in terms of, it's not a position. You know, it's not something, okay, you're the captain, now you're the only leader on this team, that everybody has the opportunity to lead.
I mean, I agree with you. We've been in those situations where even if we didn't expect the kids to get elected captain, they did. And probably just as importantly, mom and dad did. And you're right, it can cause problems, you know. And I think, like I said, we had 9 captains one year. That's not something we want to do every year. But I think you need to be – you can't be afraid to change things. You can't be afraid to try something different. Can't go in, I don't think, say, we're going to have 3 or we're going to have 4. As you mentioned earlier, every season's a new book, and I think that kind of plays into that idea that what worked last year may not work this year. And we certainly don't have all the answers. I think that you do a lot of things right, but we can go back to the year before we won these last 3 in a row. You know, every day that you walked up on the practice field, you knew there was going to be a problem. It was a long year that, I mean, we made the playoffs, we won a couple of playoff games, but you knew you were not going to advance all the way. You knew at some point you were going to fall apart. And we tried, we tried a lot of different things. We could not come up with the answer. So, I mean, there is no magic formula. Some of the things that we do that work for us is not going to work for somebody else. And we've been beat by teams that do things way differently than what we do. And we've been beaten by teams that do things the same way we do. So if there was an easy answer or a magic answer out there, everybody would know it.
Yeah, that's right. Well, hopefully, I started this podcast as you and I are recording this to the day 2 years ago with the idea that we could share some ideas that people would be able to learn from and fit to what they're doing. I think that's the beauty of coaching and the beauty of our game, is that there is not one path to do this the right way. There's several, and you have to, as a coach, make those decisions and tailor it to your people, whether that's the schemes you run, whether that's the way you put together your team leadership, your culture. That's, I think, the fun part, because that is so dynamic when you bring in all these different individuals and then mold them into a team, both on and off the field, that's going to get the results that really you have envisioned, you know, as the head coach and as a coaching staff.
It's a different, like we say, it's a different challenge every year. Honestly, we think next year is going to be one of the bigger challenges that we've had in terms of depth, kids that you may have to rely on that are just not totally where you want them to be right now. And it's a scary thing in the sense that you just don't know. I think I may have mentioned this earlier. We told our kids coming back that we're in the same spot right now that we were a year ago. You know, we've got some good players coming back. We understand that, but there's an awful lot of question marks. And we said the same thing last year. And, you know, this year's seniors in particular answered those questions. We had the same questions coming up next year, and we have no idea, you know, what the answer is going to be at this point. So you're right in terms of trying to, you know, duplicate what you've done in the past with a different group of kids. What worked with last year's group of kids may not work with this year's group of kids. And you're constantly searching and trying. And, you know, you try something. If it doesn't work, then you try something else.
Coach, we focused on one of those challenges that you learned from in 2018. What's something that went well, either that you expected to go well or maybe was a little bit of a surprise that you were able to learn from and have, you know, are taking away something from this past season?
I think one of the things that we've concentrated on lately is really trying to get the kids to bond together, do things as a group in the off season, particularly in the summer, you know, moving close to the season. And it's not things that we organize. It's just encouraging the kids to organize the things themselves. And I thought our seniors did a great job of including our underclassmen in some of the things that they did early on, making them feel a part of the team early on as we moved into the season. And I just thought we had great leadership from a couple of kids that you knew were going to be great leaders. And we ended up getting great leadership from a couple of kids that had maybe questions about. But the maturity level really surprised me, you know, from where people were a year ago to where they ended up today. And, you know, I don't know how much credit that we can take for that, but I think it's something that you look at and you're really proud of the kids for the steps that they make.
Coach, the player-coach relationship, getting the players involved is a big part of what you do, and part of the reason I asked you to speak at National Conference on that. You've had 47 years of coaching, and you and I talked, maybe not the most tech-savvy guy, but the one thing you, I think, really do is you've been able to continuously evolve and meet these kids where they're at, and I think that's really what it is to be a coach. You can't get caught in the ways that we used to do it, because you know this, what you were doing maybe 47 years ago and how you were handling the kids certainly isn't how you would do it today. There's all those things that change. That's going to kind of be the theme of your talk at National Conference. So give us a little preview of you know, what we're going to hear there.
I think, Keith, you kind of hit it. I mean, I think back on all of the things that I've seen in 47 years, and I'd probably go back another 8 or 10 years before that and include, you know, like the relationships that I had with my coaches playing. And, you know, you talk about you have to change, you can't do things the way you did back then. I think some of the things we did back then you could get arrested for if you didn't today. And when we talked earlier, it doesn't mean they're wrong, because back then they were fine, they were accepted, everybody did things that way and it didn't bother anybody. But society has changed tremendously in that 50-year period, and you have to be able to adapt to change. And that's another Lou Holtz quote that I think back on. He said, I'll show you the 100 biggest companies in the United States in the year 1900, and I'll show you the 100 biggest companies in the year 2000, and some of them are still there and some of them are gone. And the ones that are still there are the ones that could adapt to change. And so I think you've got to be able to do that, but that doesn't mean you have to change your core values. It doesn't really mean you have to change the way that you interact with kids on a one-on-one basis. Yeah, I think there's got to really be consistency. And the other thing I think about player-coach relationships, it encompasses everything we talk about. You know, it encompasses relationships with your family, with your assistant coaches. You know, relationships include discipline. They include loyalty. They include hard work. Everything that goes into building a successful program is part of your player and coach relationships. And you don't always get it right. We could pick, you know, people from the past that wouldn't talk to me if they saw me in the street today. Generally speaking, you've got to be able to communicate with your kid, and you've got to find a way for them to listen to you, whether it's listening to me, whether it's listening to their position coach, whether it's listening to a teammate. You know, you have to get your message to those kids one way or the other.
Coach, I'm excited to hear your presentation there and learn from it. And I think that's a great part about our national conference. There's so many opportunities to learn, both formally and informally. I've been blown away by the event. You know, when I first started with USA Football full time, one of the first really opportunities I had to really get to know a lot of people in the company and get to see, you know, firsthand what USA Football was all about. And, you know, having been to, hundreds of coaches' clinics over the years, this is something that's just different. It is definitely more than a clinic. You are going to get those kinds of things. You're going to get some X's and O's. You're going to hear about program building and leadership and all those kinds of things. But I think more than any place I've been to, there's just this spirit of of really sharing and helping each other get better. And I think part of it's because it is a national audience, so you don't maybe get as territorial and worried about what, you know,
exactly.
your opponent sees you doing. But I mean, it's kind of like magic when you see coaches from all over the country, you know, sitting down with each other, whether it's at dinner or some of the other social times we have for them, and just sharing ideas. I know last year I brought a group together of coaches who had been on the podcast, about 20 of them who I had there, and just sat back and watched that clinic unfold and heard all the ideas there. And actually a lot of those guys have become friends now just from meeting each other at the national conference. And I think that's what you need as a coach today. You need that network. You need some wide perspectives on coaching and problem solving, you know, what it comes down to. And maybe you don't always get those locally. And as a head coach, I think you know this, sometimes when you're at the top, you don't necessarily have those same kind of interactions as you did maybe when you were an assistant coach. So you look for those opportunities to find guys who can give you some insight, ideas, et cetera, and that's what you get at our national conference. So I'm excited you're going to be there. For our listeners out there, go to usafootball.com/NC19podcast. Enter the code podcast99 to save on your registration, and I highly recommend that you get out there, and when you do, certainly find the room where Coach Brogan is speaking and listen to all he has to say about player-coach relationship. Coach, it was great to have you here again today. I appreciate you taking the time. Congrats again on a great 2018 and another state championship. And best of luck to you and Lumen Christi in 2019.
Thanks a lot, Keith. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.